Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time to head on out to the BetQL guest hotline. We're going to say good morning to America's greatest export. It's Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent.
What's up, Peter? Peter?
Pete, good morning.
All right, hold on.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Of course.
How's it been for the first almost a week?
It has been downright exhausting, the hours. Again, I told you guys, but I'll just say them again for those who maybe didn't hear my successful first hit. We are working the Primetime in Paris show hosted by Mike Tirico. That is on from 8 to 11 in America. The issue is that it's on from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. in Paris. So we're getting in around 3:30, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. We're working straight through the night. We leave around 5:15, and my fellow researcher and I, we just like zombie walk through the streets of Paris. We've almost got hit by cars. We're tripping. We're falling. We have no idea where we're going. We're probably ripe for pickpocketers. So it's very tiring, but working with Tirico is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and kind of following these games, seeing up close how it's all put on, has just been downright sick.
How many TVs / monitors where you are for the most part in that studio are there? Are you able to watch a lot of the games?
Yes. It's like the most nerdy sports bar you've ever been, in that they don't have any chicken wings or beer or burgers or nachos. But there are so many screens. We have every camera angle you could imagine. We have this little computer next to us, a touch screen, where we can control what's going on. So if we see that the handball game is coming down to the final seconds, boom, handball's on. If we see that there's a giant wave in surfing, all right, we want that on. If Tirico wants to see something in gymnastics, we can do it. So it's like a command center. And I don't know if you guys have watched the show, but our set is like just it'll make your jaw just smash into the ground. It is right in front of the Eiffel Tower. So I took a video a couple nights ago of Tirico hosting the show. I pan a little bit to the right, and there's the glowing Eiffel Tower. It is so damn cool. And it's just these two icons, a television icon and a landmark icon, working together in concert to just make like a really cool show. So yeah, it's an awesome offer.
Hey, Pete, how has your life changed since your star turn a couple of nights ago when Tirico was walking through the, I think you guys took over like a restaurant or a kitchen, and then he walks right by Pedro Haley, just tapping away on the keyboard, and he gives you a shout out on NBC. That's big.
It was so big. Yeah, to make sure I had nothing naughty going on in my browser, Tirico walking by, and millions of people watching. But yeah, that was cool. We had, so it was like a little, the show open. Oh no, it was before a highlight package. So Tirico was kind of establishing, hey, we're in this really foofy restaurant, but we've just taken it over, made it NBC's Parisian headquarters. He walks through, and then me and the other researcher, Jake, are there, and he walks by and he says, yep, got my guy Pete, and he pats me on the back and he goes, there's my right hand man Jake. And I told my whole family to watch. They're fired up. A bunch of other people texted me. JP and Mitch Tischler, my buddies, were nice enough to tweet the clip. So that was very, very fun. And Tirico is the best. It's like watching Johann Sebastian Bach play piano. And he is so good at what he does. He is so knowledgeable. Imagine he has to be in charge of 30 plus Olympic sports. He has to be able to talk for 3 hours every single night. He's also on the daytime show for 3 to 4 hours. He's on TV about 8 hours a day. And oh, by the way, last weekend, or maybe 2 weekends ago, I guess it was now, he was hosting the Open Championship coverage. Right. And he's got to get ready for Sunday Night Football, which is a massive property. So he is just gifted, and he's really, really cool, really down to earth. Talks to everybody, from me, who he didn't know a week ago, to, you know, the camera guy, to the big wigs. I mean, he just interacts with everybody. So that's been one of the true treats of this.
Well, that's
gig.
Why he makes probably $20 million a year.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I don't know him well enough to make jokes about his finances or anything.
He's doing
I'm sure he's well paid for his services, as he should be. Yep. He's the man.
Hey, what did you think of the first men's hoops game, and Jason Tatum did not play? Now, Steve Kerr said that Tatum's going to play in the second game. And I understand, you know, you've got 12 guys and it's a 40-minute game. It's tough to get everybody in. But Tatum is, you know, first team all NBA, and he won an NBA championship. I just thought it was interesting that he didn't get 1 minute.
Yeah, it's certainly strange, especially, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but Derek White is playing a bunch, and I know it's about chemistry more so than, like, profile on this team, but it just felt like Steve Kerr was intentionally, unintentionally, maybe just forgot, like, Tatum is there, but welcoming a little bit of controversy. It's not like they were in a tight game where putting Tatum in the lineup was going to affect things, and yeah, I mean, you got LeBron, you got KD, you got these old legends who've been playing for years and years out there, maybe try and save their legs a little bit and let guys like Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton play a little more. So that certainly was a bit of a strange storyline. Kerr's promise that he's going to play him this next game. So we'll see if Tatum comes out with a little bit of a vengeance. And speaking of basketball, today is the beginning of 3x3, both men's and women's. The men play Serbia, who are basically the dream team in the 3x3 world. And of course, that means Jimmer Fredette taking the court, the BYU three-point shooting maestro.
Right.
I think he's 35 years old now, if you want to feel kind of okay. So he's like to talk about get your coffin ready. Maybe you want to do that because Jimmer Fredette is 35. But him playing 3x3, I think Rick Barry's, I don't know if it's his son or grandson, Canyon Barry, is also on the team, or he's related to the Barry family somehow. So the 3x3 basketball, men's and women's going on. You got men's and women's regular hoops too. So plenty of action going on for JP, who just loves the hardwood.
Hold on. We can't call it 3-on-3. We have to call it 3x3 now. Is that the
deal?
Yeah,
I know. I'm pushing up my nerd glasses at the bridge of my nose when I say this, but I just want to be very clear, guys. It is 3x3. It's in our manuals. It's on our sheet. Very, very important. Not 3-on-3. And I accidentally said 3x3 a couple days ago in the office, and I almost got sent to the guillotine. People care. It is 3x3. Three, damn it.
Do they play make it take it in 3x3?
So I knew that was going to be asked, so let me pull up the rules here. So it's on a half court, of course.
They check the ball on each other.
Yeah, you like no chicken legs, don't throw it at my leg. Okay, so the court, let's see, I'm just killing. Okay, play is generally more physical than in 5-on-5. There's more contact usually necessary. The game is 10 minutes long, 12-second shot clock, first team to 21 wins, and I don't want to waste your time trying to figure out if it's make it, take it. But
I'm guessing it's not. I've watched Ice Cube's version, and it's not make it, take it. I mean, we grew up playing make it, take it. I wanted to ask you about the triathlon. Now, I wouldn't watch the triathlon, but I'm intrigued by the storyline that
the river's too dirty.
Is so infested by bacteria that these triathletes can't swim. What's going on there?
Yeah, so the River Seine is where the triathlon is expected to take place, and there's a lot of E. coli going on in the Seine, and they test it every night at 3:30 a.m. right in the middle of our show. And if the levels are bad, then they have to postpone it and push it back. And they tested 4 different points of the Seine last night. Only 1 point came back in the okay zone. 2 of them were slightly not okay. And the 3rd one was very not okay. And what's scaring the French officials is that tonight, Tuesday night, there's going to be a rainstorm. And when the rain comes, that pushes all the cigarette ashes and the litter and all the crap from the streets into the water, and it makes it even dirtier. So they're very nervous about it, and they're, if it continues to get this bad, they might just have to turn the triathlon into a biathlon and have no swimming.
Yeah. That's so a lot of chlorine.
One of the 3 legs.
Hey Pete, you know what Jason's way more nervous about? Australia leading Canada by 4 right now.
I knew I was gonna lose.
It's gonna crush his 6-leg parlay if that doesn't
sleep
come
on Josh Giddey.
It's not great for
him. Jason, I'm sorry to hear that. I have no real file on that, so I'm just going to say sorry. And I love that you're betting. It is fun, the Olympics.
I bet the Olympics every day.
The betting is exceptional. The betting opportunities is great. I don't really have any winners for you today, so I can't really help you out. But, Jason, just you'll be fine. I'm sure you put like $3 to win $920, and your FanDuel account is going to be okay whether you win or not.
All right, I'll say this: it's $49.45 at half. All right, and I put $29 to win $98.
See?
Just so far,
you're all over.
Oh, well, you loved this
but
play.
I just
this
thought,
is a whale play.
I just thought SGA was going to be the man, and he would just dominate Canada, but or Australia. So,
hey, who's your favorite athlete so far? I'll say there's a 61-year-old ping pong or table tennis player. That's big time.
I know. I was watching table tennis a couple days ago, and I saw a woman who looked to be a little older, and I said, whoa, she looks like, what? How old is she? She was 46. And then I learned there's a 61-year-old. So that 46-year-old might be in her prime. so last night, we were sitting in our studios doing our thing, and the men's gymnastics team came by after winning bronze for the first time.
The kid with glasses.
Men's gymnastics, yeah, had medaled since 2008. And this kid with glasses, Steven Nedorosic, he's a pommel horse specialist. Yes. He doesn't do anything else. He just does the pommel horse. The guys on the broadcast were comparing him to an NFL kicker. So during the competition yesterday, everybody's doing every event, and this guy, who looks like McLovin, I kept calling him McLovin, is just sitting there waiting to do the pommel horse at the end. And the entire country's hopes came down on his shoulders. He'd apparently screwed up in the situation a couple times before, but he nailed the pommel horse. Earlier that day, he had posted on Instagram that he did a Rubik's Cube in 9.3 seconds. So he had a hell of a day. And they came by, and they look, I mean, they are ripped. Their arms are nasty. But then they came by in their tracksuits, and they were like 5'5". They were so tiny.
Of course,
and
they're short.
It was pretty.
You could post them up.
I know. Okay. Okay, JP. I just was impressed by how little they were. Because on screen, you see their shoulders. They look like linebackers, but then they pop on by, and they're very tiny. But Steven Nedorosic, McLovin, he was my favorite because I like that. He just is like, no, I'm not going to do the vault. I'm not going to do the stupid uneven bars. I'm going to do the pommel horse. Call me when you need me. Until then, I'm going to be sitting over here toying around with my Rubik's Cube.
I mean, don't most of the gymnasts, aren't they well-rounded? He's just a full-blown specialist. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Apparently, when he was a kid, specialist. He was silly at the pommel horse.
Okay. All right.
He does a one-arm spin, man. Yeah. I don't know. I watch it. Your boy Mike Tirico was fired up about that
last
night.
Those guys are incredible.
I couldn't do a Rubik's Cube in 9.3 years. I'm more impressed by that feat. He does it in 9
seconds. Well, you can't
seconds.
Even do a side,
I can't
right?
even get a side, Pete. I don't know what to tell you. My brain doesn't work that way.
Hey, so Pete,
you and me both.
What are some of the other, I mean, it seems like swimming's every day, so I know there's a couple other finals today, but what are some of the other events today you're looking forward to?
Very good question. So yeah, tonight, we'll start with swimming. The women's 100-meter backstroke finals features the four fastest women in the world, including Reagan Smith of America, 22-year-old, and Australians McEwen. These two have been trading world records back and forth. It exchanges hands by like 0.02 of a second. They are on each other's ass, and they are going to have a really good race. So that's going to be a fun one to watch in the pool. Men, if they play Guinea, they have to win and have a better result than New Zealand to advance to the knockout stage for the first time since 2000. And in the group stage format, that's the only time since the 1960s that America has made it to the knockout stage in men's soccer. So that's a big one. And on the tennis courts of Roland Garros, Andy Murray is looking to extend his career. Not exactly a legend, but a tennis great. And he's in doubles. And him and his doubles partner fended off 5 match points in a row in their last appearance a couple days ago. And Andy Murray said this is it for him. So whatever match he plays could be his last. His partner said he was basically trying not to crap his pants and lose it. So Andy Murray's career just ended right in front of him. So I think that's very fun. We saw Nadal, who's the Joker, yesterday. He's still in doubles with Alcaraz. So, the women's 100 back is the best in the pool. Men's soccer, if you like footy, they got a big one. And then Andy Murray, bunch of stuff going on. A tennis, there's plenty. And I'm excited, like I said, on 3x3. And by the way, I'm still trying to figure out if it's make it, take it. I'm reading this manual. I can't.
It's not.
I think it's
not.
All possession.
You're wasting your time, Pete.
We're talking to Pete Haley. He's in Paris covering the Olympics for NBC. Who's this American rugby woman that went like beast mode?
Oh, she's a big girl.
Alona Mar. She is the star. Mar is the star, not Michael Mar, by the way. Not related, I don't believe. She would kill Michael Mar and eat his bones for lunch and dinner. She is really cool. Rugby, so they play rugby sevens as opposed to rugby union, which is rugby 15. A lot more open space, a lot more chance to run wild. The U.S. team plays New Zealand in the semis. New Zealand is beating their opponents by more than 36 points per game. They're the defending gold medalists. So the U.S. is definitely underdogs. But Alona Mar is a megastar. She went viral for a bunch of her plays. They were showing Derrick Henry at Ravens camp, some of the stuff she was doing. He was loving it. Jason Kelce over here in Paris. He's becoming a rugby super fan. So they have a really big one against New Zealand. We'll see if they can pull it off. And what's cool about rugby, and I didn't realize this, among many other things I haven't realized, is they play twice a day. And their games are quick, 14 minutes, a couple halves. But these games are obviously extremely physical. And then they come out like 3 hours later and play another one. So the U.S. rugby women, of course, are way stronger, more physical, and better athletically than any of us talking on the phone right now. And they're going to try and make it to the gold medal match later this evening.
Yeah, I saw the New Zealand women's rugby 7 team beat China 55-5.
No.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they are just a bunch of studs.
Isn't that basically 11-1? Is the scores by fives?
I don't know.
Sounds right to me.
A try is five. What is the equivalent to an extra point is two. There's also a three-pointer. You can, like, kick it. I don't know. But I don't know when or where you decide to kick it. Rugby is still. It seems like they just lateral it back and forth right. Side to side until somebody just decides to run through someone. And then there's all these scrum. I've tried to watch it. I haven't really heard it with commentary. That would definitely help. But it's cool. And rugby 7 seems to be better than 15s because a little more of a free-flowing game. If you like overs, I think rugby 7 is your play. If you like unders, rugby union, that's your joint.
Nice. All right. Hey, Pete, Valdez wanted to know why they're making the pool slower. What's going on over there in France? Can you explain?
I didn't know that they were making the pool slower. That sounds like a really good conspiracy theory. I'm typing in making pool slower. Yeah. Oh, wow. And the first thing on YouTube is the Paris Olympic pool slow.
See?
Okay, well, Valdez, stop trying to take my job. I'm over here in Paris. And you put my nose to the grindstone, focusing on 30 sports.
I know.
Meanwhile, Valdez is just doing one thing, trying to make me look like an idiot. I don't appreciate it.
I know. Tirico texted me and asked for some nuggets.
Yeah.
He asked for some nuggets and some Pinot Noir recommendations.
Yeah, I haven't been able to give him either. Tirico. He's going around my back. He must think I'm an absolute loser. It has been a little bit of pressure. Like, I'm trying to pick my spots with him to, like, add ideas and talk without, like, overdoing it so he doesn't look at me and say, hey, just get the hell out of my face. I know what's going on. But it sucks to hear that he's gotten Valdez's number and he's talking to him about the pool being slower. I've got some reading to do.
I think it's just that the pool is a little deeper. I think it's deeper than a typical.
I think it's shallower. It's shallower than usual, which makes slows the pool down.
Pedro,
now I'm doing more research than you.
So it's more shallow that's affecting it? All right.
I'm going to take my passport out, come back home. Why am I even here? You guys got it all covered. Yeah, that sucks. By the way, the one thing I love, we have Snoop Dogg on a lot of the time, a lot of nights here. I mean, I'm just not speaking very good English. Snoop Dogg comes on, and he like kind of does this kind of fun package where it's featuring the quirkier highlights. And somebody's swimming cap fell off a couple nights ago in the pool.
Yeah.
And they have this guy come out in like a pink and yellow Speedo. He's got the biggest beer belly, and he like does a graceful dive and swims over and gets the cap out. It's so funny. So I enjoyed that part. So maybe that guy's big cannonball pushed all the water out of the pool. Now it's shallower and it's affecting everybody.
There you have it.
It's a good theory.
A large man. Yeah, there you go. I just solved it. Take that, Valdez.
Yep.
Go back to your Crabs and Orioles starting pitching. Those are your areas of expertise.
All right, Pete, we love the updates, man.
He's not
wrong. Appreciate it. And we'll hear from you again soon from Paris.
Yeah, I'd love to talk one more time. We got about 13 days left, plenty more to go, track and field. We'll see if this triathlon ever happens or if the sun is just filled with poop particles. But happy to come on whenever, guys. Thanks,
Pete. We love
great
it,
stuff, man.
That's Pete Haley, our NBC Olympics correspondent, checking in from France. When we come back, we're going to take your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Did the Nats make the right move getting rid of Lane Thomas before the trade deadline? Are you happy with the return that's coming the Nats way? We'll take your calls on that next at 800-636-1067. Coming up at 8:45, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to HF Festival. That's coming to Nats Park Saturday, September 21st. So your chance to win those tickets for free instead of paying for them, which is always better, that's coming up in roughly 15-ish minutes.
And what's the game we're going to play?
Not going to tell people. I'm going to spring it on them so they can't any sort of pre-game prep.
Gotcha. Do you have the game ready? Or
I do.
Nice.
Have it ready to go. It's ready.
So Cakes and I have a season-long bet of wins for the Nats, and we went over 66.5. They currently have 49. They're 49-58.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that math, JP? 107?
I'm not sure.
107, I believe.
Right.
So 55 games left?
Right.
All right, so they have to get to 67. So they need 18 game wins to win our bet.
What are they projected at right now?
Ooh.
Just look at their winning percentage.
I got to think somewhere in the low 70s.
All right, let's figure it out.
But last night was such a brutal, brutal loss. Out in Arizona, they blew a 6-0 lead. They scored 5 in the first, 1 in the second. They're up 6-0 going into the fourth. All right, D-backs starting to claw back a little bit. But they had an 8-3 lead. They brought in Kyle Finnegan to close it out. And he gave up 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth, including a walk-off from Corbin Carroll.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the percentages of you blowing an 8-3 lead that late in the game, I mean,
I would love to see
that. It had been 99.9%.
That ESPN chart that they had, the probability win index.
I guarantee it was 99.9.
It had to be.
Yeah. So last night was one of those brutal, brutal losses for the Nats. And I guarantee you, Riz was just bitter, throwing stuff all over the whatever suite he was in Arizona.
You're projected at 74 wins right now.
Yeah, I think we're fine, but if we lose it by a game, I'm going to look back at that one.
That could be a pivotal one.
And go, OMG, how did Finn blow an 8-3 lead, giving up 5 runs? But the big story, of course, is from yesterday was Lane Thomas being dealt. And this is the third, I believe this is the third player that Rizzo has dealt before the deadline. Maybe there's a couple more that'll go, but I doubt it.
But this is the first one that really upsets people because I think people expected the Winker deal.
Yeah.
And
Hunter Harvey.
Maybe
okay,
some people no expected really this deal, but you had said all along that you were hoping that in the future, when you looked at the Nats outfield, it would be Cruz, Wood, and Thomas.
I think that would be a really good outfield. I don't know, you know, what Cruz is going to be like as a major league player, but, you know, he's obviously, he was a high pick in the draft. And
but you brought up Jacob Young earlier.
They think he's going to be a stud as well as James Wood. And I thought Lane Thomas could be really good either in left or right. I don't know where they would play him. But I thought Thomas, Cruz, and Wood would be a nice future outfield. But
you brought up Jacob Young earlier. And one thing that I saw, somebody tweeted us, and then I double-checked. Jacob Young on the Nationals in terms of offense, and some people don't love this stat, but he's second in WAR on the team.
So he's
second
having
in
a good
WAR.
Year.
He's got 26 stolen bases and 254. Now he doesn't hit for power.
No, he does. He's got no pop.
He's got one home run.
He's a good defensive player, though.
But if you've got power in the outfield from Wood and Cruz, I don't think is a mega power guy, but he should be, you know, maybe a 20 home run guy, 25 home runs maybe on a good year. That's what you project.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you never know. I think that maybe that's what they're thinking, that they thought that Lane Thomas was expendable. But some people are upset. You can chime in at 800-636-1067. Do you like what Rizzo and the Nationals did by trading away Lane Thomas, who's been one of their best players the last couple of seasons?
One of the players they got for one of the players they got for Thomas is this kid, Alex Clemmie,
right,
who I believe is in pitching in single A right now.
Yes.
Single or double, and he's 19.
He throws gas.
His stats are really good for whatever team he was pitching for in the Cleveland system. But he moves to number 6 on the Nats, you know, list of prospects.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's James Wood, who's now a major leaguer. So you can kind of take him out. So it's Cruz, Brady House, Yohandy Morales, Cade Cavalli, and now Clemmie. And he's pitching at single A, and they projected him possibly at 2027. He's 6'6", 205, lefty.
I just can't believe that many people are going to be upset at Mike Rizzo. Like, Mike Rizzo has a real track record of making good trades and making good personnel moves for the team.
Yeah.
So why don't you entrust him to do what's best long-term for the team? Like, why would you get upset? Why would you see that news about Lane Thomas moving on, and why would you be upset about it? You should be like, okay.
Well, just because he's been on the team for
the best we could get out of Lane Thomas. He's clearly not in the long-term plans for Mike Rizzo and company.
Right.
So you get assets to replenish your farm system and add to your current crop of guys in you know, double A, triple A, and lower.
The reason is most fans don't have a clue who Robert Clemmie is, or Alex Clemmie, sorry, and these other two kids that they got, the infielders. So they're saying, I don't know who these kids are. I've never seen him play, but I've seen Lane Thomas play for 3.5 years, and he's been pretty good. And, you know, he's got a little pop. He steals bases, good outfielder. So that's the only reason.
Look, I trust the dudes who are in charge.
I do,
too. As long as they've shown me a reason to trust them from their previous track record.
I would agree with that.
And Mike Rizzo has shown us that over the years. In Rizzo, I trust.
So is he infallible forever?
No, no, I'm not saying.
You have to agree with everything he does.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if Mike Rizzo deems this is what's best for the Nationals, he's working in the best interest of the team to build a winner again and build hopefully another World Series champion, I trust him.
I think overall moves. In this rebuild, they went from a team that had a terrible, according to all the rankings, terrible farm system. And they've built it up by adding a lot of prospects over the years, some in the draft, some via trades.
Yep.
And he's been good at flipping kind of older guys for younger guys. And this is almost a two-way because he flipped Lester, who did nothing here, the pitcher, for Lane Thomas. And then Lane Thomas gets flipped for three prospects. So hopefully, you know, in a couple of years, these guys will make an impact. But it's going to be a while if the guy's in single A.
It's going to be a while, and when you look into the prospects for the Nats right now, there are some other outfielders that they acquired in some deals. Robert Hassel was one of them that they also acquired in that Soto deal to San Diego. I don't know what Hassel's doing in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. He's rated as the 10th best prospect right now, according to MLB.com. You know, he's 22, so maybe they're thinking in a couple of years he could be maybe a possible outfielder. This kid Christian Vaquero, who's 19, he's at single A. They're looking at him in a couple of years. So maybe they're looking down the road and going, all right, we've got a couple outfielders, so we don't need Lane Thomas. We would love to get a lefty pitcher who they got.
Right, and Mike Rizzo's done the math. He knows what Lane Thomas would command on the open market, which he'll hit when he's 30, and he doesn't want to pay that. He's made the determination he doesn't want to pay Lane Thomas in his age 30 year and then going forward three or four more years. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll put this up as our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Do you like the move by Rizzo to trade Lane Thomas for three prospects?
I'm going to go vote yes in about 2 minutes. I'm going to throw my support behind one.
But again,
Mike
that's
Rizzo.
What it is. You got to trust that Riz and his scouts kind of know what they're doing.
Yes.
They clearly know what they need, what their game plan is for the next 2-3 years. And maybe they looked at Lane Thomas and went, you know what? He's 28. He's in his seventh year. Good player, not a great player. He's probably topped out. You know, maybe he's a mid-20s home run guy, but his on-base percentage isn't great. Good fielder, can run, but maybe they thought, all right, we get three players for him. It's a win-win.
If you're a big Lane Thomas mark, you're welcome to call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. They're officially wide open. You know, weigh in on Lane Thomas departing and going to Cleveland.
You just got to remember that prospects are just that. Prospects.
Yep, they are.
People get so excited and act like these guys are going to be up here in just a matter of time. That's not always the case.
They could all flame out.
They could all easily flame out, and Lane Thomas could win a World Series with the Guardians, and we get nothing from it. Now, Rizzo has a pretty good track record, so you got to give him some grace in it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I saw last night there were you know, people who are frustrated that we just keep pushing out the rebuild.
Yeah.
Right? Because, look, if Lane was here next year and you got Cruz, you got Wood, well, that's a formidable outfield. Now we're kind of, who's going to be that third outfielder all over again? Save a few bucks.
Are you going deep down the Nats wormhole to find this outrage about Lane Thomas moving on? Because I haven't heard a peep from the Nats fans.
No, I saw some of it on social media.
Grant's mentions last night when he was tweeting about the trade up. All kinds of people were upset about it.
Right.
Well, if you are upset, give us a call. Let us know why. But I would agree, like I said many times, I didn't want them to trade Lane Thomas. I really like him. I think the fans love him. But I got to trust that Riz knows and Riz and his scouts know what these other three players can possibly bring you.
Sure.
Now, look, the Nats will be lucky if they would be extremely lucky if two of those three prospects hit. And they'll be lucky if one of them does.
Right.
And if that pitcher hits, then, you know, he's 19.
It also may take some time for 28. Dylan Cruz. I'm looking at his stats. Not exactly tearing it up at Rochester.
255, 260?
That's the 246.
All right.
He's only had 29 games.
Yeah,
141 plate appearances.
Time.
Four home runs. He's not tearing the cover off the ball in Rochester.
But again, it's okay to let those guys feel their way through the minor leagues.
Of course.
Before you graduate them up here.
But to his point is, some of those guys don't.
They may
not. Dylan Cruz will.
Right.
These three guys, they're in such, you know, in low A ball that it's such a projection. you never know what's going to happen.
Let's go to Matt. He's calling in from Annapolis. Matt, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, Junks. Love the show.
Thank you.
First time caller, long time listener. I think it's a great move. Cakes, I think, touched on it in that they weren't going to pay him what he's going to command when they know that they have those guys coming up. And to get three prospects for him now, you let your young kids grow. It was the right move. And Rizzo, as you all touched on, has earned a lot of trust, at least for me, in regards to what he does with the prospects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you listening, man.
And of course, you get a little bit more for him because the Guardians get him for another year before they're going to have to pay him.
Right.
If they keep him.
Yep.
But, you know, prospects, sometimes they make the team and then they aren't that impactful. Like,
yeah, of course.
I think he's having a disappointing year and he's going to earn a good amount of money. K-Bear Ruiz, don't you think he's been underwhelming this year?
I mean, look, I think maybe his batting average, which is kind of low.
He only has 8 homers.
Yeah, but that's not what he's known for. He's a defensive guy. If you can get a catcher that hits 250, right, but he's a really good defensive mm-hmm. player.
Yep, you'll take it.
You'll take that all day
of
long.
Of course.
Because, I mean, it's hard to find great hitters mm-hmm. and great catchers and defensive catchers. It really is. So Ruiz is probably really good at what his strengths are. He's not a great hitter, no. Got a little bit of pop. But defensively, that's where his strength is.
All right, you can call us right now at 800-636-1067. Get lined up for your chance to win a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nats Park. The date of the show is Saturday, September 21st. 800-636-1067. Your chance to win when we come back. At stake right now, a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park. We're going to play Where's That HF Festival Band From? You can either guess yourself, it's probably a guess, let's be honest, or you can lean on Jason. He knows where everybody's from, for the most part.
I was going to say, if you lean on me, you're probably going to strike out.
I mean, you can ask JP, but I wouldn't recommend that. I just don't think it would be a great idea. All right, so let's go to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's lead off with Jane calling from D.C. Good morning, Jane.
James, what's up, man?
James.
Okay. I thought it was Jane.
Your name's not Jane.
All right, you're going to guess.
You don't sound like a Jane.
No, I'm not. Thanks, sir.
James, you can guess yourself or you can lean on Jason to help you win said prize, okay?
All right.
Where is Incubus from? You care to guess yourself or lean on Jason here?
I'm going to lean on Jason.
All right, Jason. Where is the band Incubus from? They're playing HF Festival on Saturday, September 21st. I don't need a specific city. You can give me
state. I can give you a state.
Give me the state, and I consider that a win.
I mean, I feel like most bands
California.
Are from California. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a guess. I don't know anything about Incubus, so I will say California, but I am guessing.
James, are you going to go with that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, you're going to go see them live because you won, my friend. They're from Calabasas, California. So you're going to see
awesome.
Incubus at HF Festival at Nats Park. It's Saturday, September 21, featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, Girl Talk, Violent Femmes, Tonic, Filter, and Lit. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events.
Nice
job. Congrats to you. JP, I'll test you. I have a few others on this list. Where is Jimmy Eat World from, JP? I want your best guess.
They're from Montana.
No,
Jimmy
Eat
World.
They are
not
definitely.
They're not from Montana.
They're definitely either Sun Devil fans or Wildcat fans.
You're correct. They're from Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Brad, where is Mesa in the landscape of Arizona? You know all things Arizona.
It's in the East Valley of Phoenix, right next to Tempe.
That's pretty good.
So would they be? Say they'd be Wildcat fans?
No.
I mean, Sun Devil fans. Yeah, Sun Devil. There you go.
I could have given JP a real layup and asked where Bush is from. I mean, I would guess he knows that. Where's Bush from, JP?
California.
Nope.
they're
British?
No, I actually thought they were British.
They're Brits.
Come on, Gavin Ross. Is there one guy named Gavin Rossdale living in California? Or where did he guess? Did he guess California?
He said no. Yeah, he said California.
Yeah.
I was trying to see who AJR was. Have you heard of them?
AJ, hold on. A JR. Are we talking about music here?
Yeah.
Hold on.
They're appearing at Capital One.
AJR.
Coming up in a couple days. We were talking about what shows this past weekend were here.
Yes.
And so I just was curious, like, what's coming to Capital One? And there's a band called AJR.
Don't know anything about them.
Yeah. I don't know any of their songs, but I believe my daughters love AJR.
Ah.
It says they're an American indie pop band.
Yeah. I think my daughters love them.
I mean, they're playing Capital One. They're doing something right. I mean, last time I checked, that's a pretty big room. It holds about 20,000.
That's why I was looking. I was curious what was coming there.
Impressive.
Ooh, what songs are they? I don't recognize any of the songs, but I know my daughters love them.
Oh, I've definitely heard this song.
There you go.
I've heard this song. You've heard this song 10 billion times.
Yes. What's the name of this?
Burn the house down.
Burn the house.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've heard
catchy
this one
right there.
That's a catchy song.
That's pretty catchy.
If you wanted to go to a concert,
hold on. Can anybody explain? Is that like? Was that like a trumpet? Like a weird with a weird effect on it? That
sometimes they put like something at the end of the trumpet.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what that was? Can anybody explain that?
Sounds like it.
Sounds kind of trumpety.
Yeah, that's a good tune though.
Or it could just be an AI effect. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
By the way, AJR from?
AJR from? Is it in the United States?
Yes. It's AJR, a pretty popular city.
AJR from Miami?
Nope. NYC.
Got it.
They're New Yorkers.
I don't understand something. Yeah. You guys hear that song and you're like, oh, I heard that song a million times, right? It's not even a top, I don't think, a 100 song on the Billboard of all
time. And then the other song.
But you never heard and you kept saying a million
Shaboozy
times over.
Shaboozy or whatever.
Shaboozy.
Where would I hear that song? Drab, tell me. Where would I hear that song, Shaboozy?
Well, I'm telling you, I just told you where I've heard that song. It's my daughter's.
You. Listen. Okay. No. Yeah. Kicks.
I think the only way I've heard that song, and this is just a guess. This is me throwing a dart at a board. That song must be like featured in like commercials or like promos for sporting events. I don't know where else I would have heard it.
Because
I don't have Sirius Hits 1 anymore. I used to actually semi be up with like pop music. I'm not anymore, but I've heard that song because I've been exposed to it somehow. Not sure how, but I've been exposed to it.
They had a lot of concerts in August coming to Capital One.
Give me the rundown. I'll tell you who I.
Friday, if you want to make plans this weekend, Cakes, Friday night you can go see AJR. Saturday night, it's a Mexican band called Fuerza Regida.
Okay.
Then next Thursday, you've got Missy Elliott in the Out of This World tour. I'm sure there's some other acts you've heard of. I don't know who this is.
Okay.
Next Sunday, Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake.
Never heard of them.
Somebody named Asake.
Got
Usher.
I mean, I've heard of Usher.
On August 27th, Buju Banton. Then you've got Reggaeton Don Omar, September 8th, Nicki Minaj, September 9th. And then, you know, you'll be able to watch Bilal Coulibaly soon thereafter. And Alex Ovechkin.
This guy's coming to Capital One Arena?
Maybe it's not because instead having one, you may end up seeing three holes instead of one.
Why am I not playing that on the weekly? I think our ratings would skyrocket.
Can I play that again real quick?
Maybe it's not because instead... Having one, you may end up seeing three holes instead of one.
It's kind of like interviewing a young Roger the Engineer.
And that was our old intern from, I don't know what year that was.
I mean, it had to be.
Was that 1998?
I don't know. JP's showing his story.
I would probably
2000-ish?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. A long time ago.
I believe that was during
that kid
the,
could have two or three kids right now.
That was probably during the
probably not, but he could.
Maybe it's not because it's maybe
it 24 years ago.
Was that during the Clash of Blue Mash or the War at Westfields? That was during the golf
instead of one
challenge.
Yeah, something like that,
where he was the play-by-play.
Feels great.
I have like a half a bank of nothing but Omar drops. What am I doing with my life?
All right, when we come back, are we going to talk about where Matt Cahill is going to take his family for vacation?
I think we're also going to solicit calls from the listeners. If you have ideas
for when is your vacation?
For where Drab can go like on a last minute vacay with his kids, where should he take them?
Last minute vacay? Oh, so it's
next week.
He doesn't have anything planned right now.
Oh.
He's ready to take your advice as to where he should go on vacation next week. So you can call in at 800-636-1067 with your vacay and travel tips. We will do that.
Now he's got a budget.
He does have, sure. Yeah, all right. We all have budgets. All right, we'll take calls next here on The Fan. Take right now a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park. We're going to play Where's That HF Festival Band From? You can either guess yourself, it's probably a guess, let's be honest, or you can lean on Jason. He knows where everybody's from, for the most part.
I was going to say, if you lean on me, you're probably going to strike out.
I mean,
out.
You can ask JP, but I wouldn't recommend that. I just don't think it would be a great idea. All right, so let's go to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's lead off with Jane calling from D.C. Good morning, Jane.
James, what's up, man?
James.
Okay. I thought it was Jane.
Your name's not Jane.
All right, you're going to guess.
You don't sound like a Jane.
No, I'm not. Thanks, right. sir.
James, you can guess yourself or you can lean on Jason to help you win said prize, okay?
All right.
Where is Incubus from? You care to guess yourself or lean on Jason here?
I'm going to lean on Jason.
All right, Jason. Where is the band Incubus from? They're playing HF Festival on Saturday, September 21st. I don't need a specific city. You can give me
state. I can give you a state.
Give me the state, and I consider that a win.
I mean, I feel like most bands
California.
Are from California. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a guess. I don't know anything about Incubus, so I will say California, but I am guessing.
James, are you going to go with that?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, you're going to go see them live because you won, my friend. They're from Calabasas, California. So you're going to see awesome. Incubus at HF Festival at Nats Park. It's Saturday, September 21, featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, Girl Talk, Violent Femmes, Tonic, Filter, and Lit. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events.
Nice
congrats
job.
Congrats to you. JP, I'll test you. I have a few others on this list. Where is Jimmy Eat World from, JP? I want your best guess.
They're from Montana.
No,
Jimmy
they
Eat
are,
World
they are
not
definitely.
From, they're not from Montana.
They're definitely either Sun Devil fans or Wildcat fans.
You're correct. They're from Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
Brad, where is Mesa in the landscape of Arizona? You know all things Arizona.
It's in the East Valley of Phoenix, right next to Tempe.
So that's pretty good.
So would they be, say they'd be Wildcat fans?
No.
I mean, Sun Devil fans. Yeah, Sun Devil. There you go.
I could have given JP a real layup and asked where Bush is from. I mean, I would guess he knows that. Where's Bush from, JP?
California.
Nope.
they're from London.
British?
No, I actually thought they were British.
They're Brits.
Come on, Gavin Ross. Is there one guy named Gavin Rossdale living in California? Or where did he guess? Did he guess California?
He said, no. Yeah, he said California.
Yeah.
I was trying to see who AJR was. Have you heard of them?
AJR. Are we talking about music here?
Yeah.
Hold on.
They're appearing at Capital One.
AJR.
Coming up in a couple days. We were talking about what shows this past weekend were here.
Yes.
And so I just was curious, like, what's coming to Capital One? And there's a band called AJR.
Don't know anything about them.
Yeah. I don't know any of their songs, but I believe my daughters love AJR.
Ah.
It says they're an American indie pop band.
Yeah. Yep. I think my daughters love them.
I mean, they're playing Capital One. They're doing something right. I mean, last time I checked, that's a pretty big room. It holds about 20,000.
That's why I was looking. I was curious what was coming there.
Impressive.
Ooh, what songs are they? I don't recognize any of the songs, but I know my daughters love them.
Oh, I've definitely heard this song.
There you go.
I've heard this song a billion times.
Yes. What's the name of this?
Burn the House Down.
Burn the House
Down. Yeah, I mean, I've heard
this
one.
That's catchy right there.
That's a catchy song.
That's pretty catchy.
If you wanted to go to a concert.
Hold on. Can anybody explain? Was that like a trumpet, like a weird effect on it?
Sometimes they put like something at the end of the trumpet.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what that was? Can anybody explain that?
Sounds like it.
Sounds kind of trumpety.
Yeah. That's a good tune, though.
Or it could just be an AI effect. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
By the way, AJR from?
AJR from? Is it in the United States?
Yes. It's AJR, a pretty popular city.
AJR from Miami?
Nope. NYC.
Got it.
They're New Yorkers.
I don't understand something. Yeah. You guys hear that song and you're like, oh, I heard that song a million times, right? It's not even a top, I don't think, a 100 song on the Billboard of all
time. And then the other song.
But you never heard and you kept saying a million
Shaboozy
times over.
Shaboozy or whatever.
Shaboozy. Where would I hear that song? Drab, tell me, where would I hear that song, Shaboozy?
Well, I'm telling you, I just told you where I've heard that song. It's my daughter's.
You, okay. No. Yeah. Kids.
I think the only way I've heard that song, and this is just a guess, this is me throwing a dart at a board, that song must be like featured in like commercials or like promos for sporting events. I don't know where else I would have heard it.
Because
I don't have Sirius Hits 1 anymore. I used to actually semi be up with like pop music. I'm not anymore, but I've heard that song because I've been exposed to it somehow. Not sure how, but I've been exposed to it.
They had a lot of concerts in August coming to Capital One.
Give me the rundown. I'll tell you who I...
All right, so on Friday, if you want to make plans this weekend, Cakes, Friday night you can go see AJR. Saturday night, it's a Mexican band called Fuerza Regida.
Okay.
Then next Thursday, you've got Missy Elliott in the Out of This World tour. I'm sure there's some other acts you've heard of. I don't know who this is.
Okay.
Next Sunday, Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake.
Never heard of them.
Somebody named Asake.
Got
Usher.
I mean, I've heard of Usher.
On August 27th, Buju Banton. Then you've got Reggaeton Don Omar, September 8th. Nicki Minaj, September 9th. And then, you know, you'll be able to watch Bilal Coulibaly soon thereafter. And Alex Ovechkin.
This guy's coming to Capital One Arena?
Maybe it's not because instead having one, you may end up seeing three holes instead of one.
Why am I not playing that on the weekly? I think our ratings would skyrocket.
Can I play that again real quick?
Maybe it's not because instead having one, you may end up seeing three holes instead of one.
It's kind of like interviewing a young Roger the Engineer.
And that was our old intern from, I don't know what year that was.
I mean, it had to be.
Was that 1998?
I know. JP's a show historian.
I would probably 2000-ish?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. A long time ago.
I believe that was during
that kid
the,
could have two or three kids right now.
That was probably during the...
Probably not, but he could.
Maybe it's not because it's... Maybe,
it was 24 years ago.
Was that during the Clash at Blue Mash or the War at Westfields? That was during the golf
instead of one.
Challenge.
Yeah, something like that.
Where he was the play-by-play.
Feels great.
Feels great.
I have like a half a bank of nothing but Omar drops. What am I doing with my life?
All right, when we come back, are we going to talk about where Matt Cahill is going to take his family for vacation?
I think we're also going to solicit calls from the listeners. If you have ideas
for when is your vacation?
For where Drab can go like on a last-minute vacay with his kids, where should he take them?
Last-minute vacay? Oh, so it's
next week. He doesn't have anything planned right now.
Oh,
He's ready to take your advice as to where he should go on vacation next week. So you can call in at 800-636-1067 with your vacay and travel tips. We will do that.
Now he's got a budget.
He does have, sure.
Yeah,
all right. We all have budgets. All right, we'll take calls next here on The Fan.